This is Cincinnati Edition. I'm Mark Purcell. With Thane Maynard this morning is Penny Jarrett from the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission.
Hi, Penny. It's Thane.
Hi, Thane. How are you?
Very well. How's it going down in Florida?
It's excellent. Really excellent. Really enjoying my new job with the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission.
Now, tell me a bit about Little Estro Island, because I've been there, and the bird diversity is remarkable, but it's not as if it's as big as the Everglades, right?
No, it's actually relatively a small coastal area, about 2 miles in length, and as you've mentioned, tremendous diversity, and also a very important nesting site for lease terns and black skimmers. We have lease terns that have bred and nested, and we have chicks as of last week. So right there, we have about 28 nests of lease terns, and then also Wilson plover nests that are hatching out. The diversity is tremendous there. Roseate spoonbills, black-bellied plovers, and just probably 25 to 30 species you could see on a regular basis.
That's remarkable. You know, and an important thing for folks listening to know is, again, this isn't like going either, say, to the Everglades or even Big Cypress Swamp. In my memory, at least the time we went, is we just parked behind the Holiday Inn and kind of walked out onto the beach. And yet, as you said, pretty casual afternoon of birding, you can spot a couple dozen shorebirds. It's just remarkable.
Right. And part of that is the effort by Florida Fish and Wildlife and also Audubon and the town of Fort Myers Beach to let the people that are visiting that area that are either staying at Holiday Inn or renting at the various condominiums along the way that this is a very important critical wildlife area, and it's a partnership amongst the village and the renters and everyone to protect these shorebirds, because they have lost a lot of habitat in the state of Florida, and the lease tern is now considered a threatened species. And the other species that we work cooperatively with the condo owners in the area is the snowy plover. And actually, the snowy plover nests outside of the critical wildlife area, but adjacent to the critical wildlife area, south of the Holiday Inn at the other end of the Little Estero Critical Wildlife Area. And there we have 6 snowy plover nests, which may sound like a small number, but there are only 200 or so nesting pairs remaining in the state of Florida. So those 6 nests are incredibly important, and we work with the condo owners to be able to post on their property. So we post both the snowy plover nest and the lease tern nest within the critical wildlife area, but also within this adjacent private property.
And I imagine the springtime is the very time when you've got both visitors to Fort Myers Beach, but also avian visitors, and you have to mark off and protect those nesting areas. So how do you do that? How do you keep people from causing trouble or even their pets?
Well, it's a daily effort, and it's been a big part of my job that I really enjoy. I started in mid-March, and the area that I just mentioned that is actually privately owned is a large beach that's actually been accreting over the past years and has gotten to be very good nesting site for the snowy plovers and lease terns, because they like the bare beaches without the vegetation. They can spot predators easier. And so my job was basically to walk almost every inch of this large beach and look for scrapes initially that the snowy plovers make in their pre-nesting. And at first, it's hard to know a scrape from a footprint, but you get pretty good at spotting it. And I mark all of those scrapes that I find and then revisit those every day. And then eventually, then the snowy plovers have chosen one of those grapes, and the egg is deposited. And as soon as the egg is found, because the egg has great camouflage with looking kind of sandy colored and then just brown speckles, we have stakes that are 4 feet length, and basically twine and flagging tape, and we put a big circle around it, probably about 15 feet out in all directions, and then put a sign on indicating that it's a snowy plover nest. So we had six of those, but after a lot of walking and doing transects looking for those eggs, actually the fifth nest was found, the lease terns had also started nesting, and we also post those first individually, and then more terns, because their colony nesters have come in and they're nesting amongst each other to the point where this large beach becomes like a maze, actually, of rings of posted nests. And so last week we ended up with the help of volunteers, and again, it's a tremendously cooperative effort amongst folks. We expanded the postings, and now the folks that are staying at the condos, they have walkthroughs, but the birds really do have most of the beach. And we're able to do that because the birds are both state and federally protected threatened species.
Now, I imagine these animals are endangered or threatened for a bunch of reasons. Principally, there are less open beaches than there used to be in Florida, but are there other challenges that the birds face as well that bring their numbers down?
There are. I mean, they have declined in numbers, and so even the terns now, we have about 60 nests on the big open beach, and then about 30 nests in the critical wildlife area. And because they like to basically mob their predators, the greater the number of terns, the better, more effective they are in driving off their predators, which are great blue herons, the gulls, also raccoons, possums. So they have a lot of natural predators, and the chicks are very precocial, at least the snowy plover chicks. So they are up and moving about very quickly within a few hours, and they can also potentially get stepped on, as could the least turn chicks. So we post signs also to let folks know that there are chicks in the area to watch their step. And we have bird stewards that also work on the weekends. They're volunteers. They're great folks. Kind of like the zoo volunteers. And they also educate the public and have a scope where the people can see the chicks running about. So a lot about education, a lot about just cooperative efforts amongst various organizations and individuals, and then hopefully being able to continue to protect this stretch of beach, because the natural predators are enough for them to contend with.
Absolutely, but it certainly sounds like a great chance, while people are having fun and they're down at the beach, for them to also learn a little bit. And probably many people are surprised that, good grief, I didn't even realize beaches were important for wildlife.
Absolutely. It's really been one of the, well, I've enjoyed the whole job, but really enjoy talking with folks that are there on vacation. And they are very interested, asking a lot of questions. A lot of people thought initially that they were sea turtles that were coming up to nest, because the sea turtle season starts beginning of May. Mm-hmm. And they don't realize that the shorebirds and seabirds actually nest right on the beach, you know, in the sand with just a tiny little scrape. There's some guidelines for folks to follow, but very simple. There are no dogs allowed in the critical wildlife area, and that's just really important because they're seen as predators versus you know, just a dog that's on a leash. So we can't have any dogs in the critical wildlife area. But beyond that, folks can still go to the beach. They can fish, they can swim, they can do, you know, all the normal beach-going things.
So, Penny, thanks for spending some time with us, and thanks for what you're doing.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling, and glad to share the news about the shorebirds and seabirds in Fort Myers Beach.
My guest has been Penny Jarrett from the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Thane Maynard.